Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We are speaking with John Elmore. John, give us your thoughts this morning.
Well, first of all, thoughts, prayers go out to the families of those who lost loved ones. Very good friend of mine, former Buffalo Police Chief Garnell Whitfield, lost his mother. She was 86 years old, left the nursing home, stopped by the grocery store to get something to eat, and was gunned down in a senseless, racially motivated killing. It's terrible. I can tell you that as an attorney, I believe that this was a horrific crime. I know that District Attorney John Flynn has charged him with murder in the first degree. And I hope that he never sees the light of day for this senseless act. The U.S. Attorney's Office is investigating the matter along with the FBI. I know that the local FBI agent in charge of the Buffalo office and the U.S. Attorney aren't going to call the shots as to the level of prosecution that this individual is going to see. But I can tell you that by law, that this killing is a death penalty eligible case because of the number of people that were involved, because it was a terroristic act and it was racially motivated, similar to Dylann Roof case in South Carolina. Dylann Roof was charged with a capital offense. He was convicted and sentenced to death. And his case was appealed, and it was upheld a year ago in August. And very similar, and he killed 9 people. This guy killed 10. And then in the Boston marathon bombing, that guy received the death penalty. He killed 3 people, and his appeal was upheld last year. And so that sentence of death was upheld last year. So I don't think that the local people here, the local U.S. attorney or the local FBI agent, have the authority to even speak about that possibility, because that would come from the U.S. attorney, Eric Garland. But that's one of the things that this community should be aware of, that this federally is a potential death penalty case. There are parallel prosecutions going on. The state has already charged him with murder in the first degree, and the federal government is investigating. I can tell you that this kid was a punk. Okay, to walk and you are fully armed and you have bulletproof vest and a weapon of mass destruction. This was not a rifle that you go hunting squirrels with or shooting deer or rabbits. This was a weapon designed for war and for mass destruction. And I don't care where anybody is with the Second Amendment. These weapons that are designed to kill massive people like this should not be easily accessible to the public, and we do need gun regulations and background checks to make sure that these weapons of mass destruction don't get put in the wrong people's hands, because there's just too much violence and too much killing. Also, my hat's off to the police officers who responded to this incident, a security officer who, in my mind, was a hero, attempted to save those, and he lost his life because this punk had a bulletproof vest, and other police officers were able to arrest this man before this killing became even worse of a massacre than what it was.
You know, John, we're hearing more and more, and I'm sure the investigation will bring out more, but what are your thoughts on, you know, this individual had stuff on social media. He had the manifesto. He had threats at a high school. The fact that none of that was on any kind of radar, and no one said anything. I mean, if you're putting this on social media, someone had to have seen it.
Well, I did listen to Governor Hochul's remarks, and she said that social media does bear some responsibility, that she is going to look in enacting legislations that will make social media and these companies, that these platforms, more responsible. I think this guy, I mean, if you look at his background and where he lives, he probably had very, very little interaction with African Americans. So what do you think caused him to hate people, Mexicans, Jews, African-Americans, when he's from a small, suburban, lily-white area outside of Binghamton, to drive all the way to Buffalo and plant and plot this mass murder because of hate? He was radicalized by social media, some of the things on radio and television talk that aren't even social media have polarized this country to the point where certain segments of us are becoming tribalized and you know, not looking at us as all being Americans, but looking at us as to the right, to the left, to the progressive, to the liberals, to the blacks, to the Mexicans, and just all this hate and spew that people are just constantly bombarded with on the news, on television, on radio, on social media, and these postings. And at some point in time, somebody's got to say, listen, peace. We are Americans first. This is our country, and this country belongs to all of us. And we all need to get along. We're destroying our society because of hate within.
You know, we hear after events like this, we hear the coming together. We've heard that from, you know, all elected leaders, and then, you know, in a few weeks, people move on. What, in your opinion, needs to, when people say the community needs to come together, what does that mean for you, and what does that mean in the long term?
It means that we all need to realize that we are Americans, that this is our country, okay? And if we keep fighting each other and becoming just tribalized and in our own groups instead of just accepting each other as Americans and put America first, and accept people that have different ideas, different religions, different beliefs, but realize that they have a right to have those beliefs. We may survive. But I mean, you know, if you look at the attack on the Capitol, our freaking government was almost overthrown. And now people are defending what happened, saying, oh, that's okay. No, it's not okay. We need to be more tolerant of each other's ideas and beliefs and work towards peace. There's a lot of work that needs to be done.
What do you say to those on social media? You know, because this is something that's been sticking out to me over the last 24 hours. You know, the fact that this guy was putting stuff on social media and no one reported it. No one thought that was, you know, something to bring to someone's attention. What do you say to those that are scrolling on social media and they see, you know, something that mimics what this individual is saying, you know, white supremacist beliefs, racism? Instead of scrolling past that, what would you say to someone who might come across that on social media?
I can tell you myself, okay, that I knew an individual who was African-American, who I believe was a little bit mentally unstable and was spewing a lot of hate type messages about white America, and I felt that he was a danger. And I was reading these things, and I knew the person, and I confidentially contacted the FBI's office, and they did an intervention, and no one was hurt. And anybody can do that. Anybody can do that. That sees these type of things where they raise a concern is to contact either the local authorities or the federal authorities to save lives so that these things don't happen.
Yeah, I brought this up to Terry Connors, and I'd like your thoughts on this as well. You know, last night when the shooter was arraigned, he pled not guilty. We're talking about a kid that, you know, this was on Twitch. He filmed the whole thing. What do you believe is the mindset of someone pleading not guilty on something that is obviously the evidence is there?
Everybody's entitled to their defense. We have a constitution in it that I believe in very strongly, and it says that a person is not guilty unless proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt by a jury of their peers, that everybody has a right to remain silent, everybody has a right to counsel, and everybody has a right to a jury trial. And if he wants to exercise those rights, let him do it. That's not going to stop him from getting convicted, but if he wants to exercise those rights, then let God have his will and let him have a trial. And this is the other thing I just need to say about what people say on the radio, what people write in social media. Every action, and we have freedom of speech, but has an equally opposite reaction. It's a universal law. Wars have been started because of things that people have said. Divorces, marriages have ended because of things that people have said. Children have, you know, been ruined for the rest of their lives because things that people have said. And so we have to be careful about what we say when we get on the radio. We have to be careful about what we say on television. We have to be careful of what we broadcast on our social media, because it has consequences. This guy was radicalized by social media, by the things that he read, and to the point where he hated groups of people in cities that he never even in a city that he had never even met, and wanted to kill people. An 86-year-old woman that he never met, helpless, not armed or anything, and he wanted to murder her. Every action has an equal opposite reaction. And so when you hear things over and over and over again, and oftentimes when you hear lies over and over again, then you it has the effect of people believing it as being true. And sometimes all this crap that we're hearing about alternative facts and things of that nature, they're not only just radicalizing individuals, but they're radicalizing large segments of our population. And I don't care, you know, if you're to the left or to the right, we need some common ground in this United States. And that is going to deal with people just trying to say, okay, I don't care what group I'm in. I just want to exercise my own common sense and think for myself, and the hell with this group mentality.
Attorney John Elmore, I really appreciate you joining me this morning.
Thank you.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.